Good morning, Rabboisai! Ah! Lili Nishmasi Mimoros Yerus Bas Mordechai. Paras Achoydes, Shmuli Hecht. In honor of David Zlatting, F200, Akivas Holkowitz, F94, Shalom Ran, F202, Shmuli Davidowitz, B202, and the Vishalan, Imin and Dav Yom Committee. Happy birthday to Lester Bleich, Tzvi Eliezer Ben Moishe, David of West Hempstead, New York. Love your family. Love your family. Joel Mizrahi, Lili Nishmat, my grandfather, Ezra and Sarah, on his 31st Askara, and Lili Nishmat, my Askara, with the Zayin, and Lili Nishmat, my wife's grandmother, Pesel Rechel, Bas Yitzchok Gershon, on her 60 yard side. You heard that? You have what's going on there? One is a Askara, one is a yard side. Because Pesel Rechel is not Svaradi, is Ashkenazi. And for the Hakarat HaTov, to Hashem, for everything. David, anonymous. Rich Levin. Levine? Levin. Levin. You yourself don't know your name, so how am I supposed to know it? He gave me three versions in like 10 seconds. What is it again? Levin. Rich Levin, my daughter-in-law, Kayla Levin, on her tremendous success in the States and now in Israel with her first year married podcast, helping young from couples succeed. Also, thank Rav Eli for catching me and calling me out when I was learning my daf as I walked down the stairs towards Noam yesterday morning. Yes, I saw Mr. Levin walking with his art scroll. I go, but Smerch is that way. Why are you learning art scroll on your own? So he's like, you're right. I've been there a few times. I need to come. So here he is. Not only he came sponsoring. Unbelievable. Rabbi Isai, there's a bunch of new guys. I think like 18 new chevra from our chevra brought in their friends. Listen to this. If a year ago I told you that 50 new people are joining Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, you'd be blown away. 50 people coming to this year. And I'm here to tell you that right now, today, we have over 400 new people coming for Rosh Hashanah. Today. We're not going to stop until we're over 1,200. Okay. We need to get to 1,000.
At least. A few days away.
Come on, this is nothing for official. Nothing. We need to burn him. We need to get these Gemaras out there. Somebody asked the question. I explained it all in the beginning, but I'll explain it again. Why is it that we need $40,000? Official sponsoring all the Gemaras. Great question. Because the Gemaras is only covering the cost of the Gemaras. The other costs are much more than the Gemaras. The marketing, the shipping and handling, and everything that goes, the secretary, the whole thing, it's more. That's why we need the $40,000. And as I spoke to the Rabbanim, there's no difference. If you bring somebody to Torah with paying for the actual page or how the Gemara gets it, it's the same exact thing. I'll put my money there. I have no problem paying for whatever it is, the marketing and this and that. So these are the people that, from our shir, that brought in their friends. And again, you get a one-of-a-kind Gemara. Who knows if we'll ever have these kind of embossed on the top. 8-minute daf and MDY. Unbelievable. Akiva Tepper, Dov Ehrenreich, Heinach, Schwinger, I didn't know it. Heinach, brought in a friend. Baruch Furman, David Gladstone, David Yishkoyach. Now, Shamshi, I'm gonna spell the last name. Guys are gonna tell me what his name is. S Z L A F R O K spells Schlufrak. You want to call it any way you want. Ovadia Berg, Ruben Weinberger, and Ruben Weinberger, that means he brought in two friends, Gavi, so he gets two, well, he gets more, he gets, instead of one thing in the raffle, he gets three chances to come to Eretz Yisrael and spend a whole day with Nachum Seltzer and 2 days, and Gary, and then,
supper, dinner to
that's a whole day. A whole 1 hour with you is like a day for everybody else. Yisrael Goldstein, Gavi Zeitlin, did I say that? Yisrael Goldstein brought somebody, unbelievable. Shmuel Landsman, you know how he brings people, Yisrael Goldstein. He walks around with his jacket, even in the summer, says, hey, Mindah, people walk, oh yeah, chaps them in. Abba Rennert, Yoel Bergman, can you believe it? Yoel Bergman, the CEO in Chicago, brought somebody in. Daniel Katz, Sruli, unbelievable. The other market chair from Lakewood is bringing people into our share. Oh, it's spelled Bernstein. Oh, Sruli Bernstein, not Bornstein. Jacob Marks, Avi Gurwitz, the Clifton of Yid, Yishkoyach Raboisai. Oh, and here are the people that donated money yesterday. Gavi Zeitlin. Not only did he bring people, but he donated 20 Gemaras. Abraham Goldman, 10 from Cedars. He's from, who's Gavi? Is he here? Don't tell me he's here. He lives in Beth Shemesh. Where is he? What? Not here. Oh, it comes for the breakfast. Chaim Shor from Baltimore, Yishkoyach. We have here Azoy. Good Erev Shabbos. My son is the official MDY Miami baby. Miami baby, why? When agreeing to host to see him at my showroom in Hollywood, Florida for MDY Miami Chevra, my wife was extremely concerned knowing that Wednesday was her due date. I told her Hashem wants us to have this chos and she has nothing to worry about. After coming home from the Siyum, late into that night, my wife started having contractions. Our fifth child, third boy, Alicia Eliezer, Baruch Hashem, was born Thursday. I'm still waiting for the day that somebody's going to call their kid MDY. No, MDY. What's in the MDY? The Rav may note that Ellie, oh, here, Elisha Eliezer. His name is Ellie twice. Elisha Eliezer. You note that Ellie is two times in his name. Today, just a few weeks old, my son got to enjoy and learn the Geshmak of the Daf on Erev Shabbos. Thank you, Hashem. Give the Rav. And the entire MDY Chever that energy to continue until 120. First of all, here's his gorgeous showroom. Remember this picture? The baseball game is going on here and the whole Zaf. Okay, great. But here he is. I say his name? No. Hanan Averbach. He's your brother-in-law?
Yeah.
Get over here, brother-in-law. Come. Say hello to Hanan. Yeah, just say to come. Get over here. So this is Hanan Averbach with the baby. This is official baby Miami. Ellie, twice. Huh? You ever saw the baby? Yeah. Here's the baby. Come here. Say Shalom Aleichem. Look over there. Hey, what's up? Shkoyach for doing the daf. Okay. Tell the Eilah what your name is. What's your name?
Rob Early.
All right. What else do we have here? Ooh, it's late. I think there should be a frequently asked question page. I use terms to newcomers. May need some clarification. Like a freebie when he mentions a Mishnah or a Braisa. So no. I say freebie. To clarify, when the Gemara is repeating itself, it seems like the Gemara is saying the same thing that we learned, and it's just easy to say. So for Magid Shir, that's mamish, unbelievable. It's like it's a freebie for me, at least, and for the Oilam, they don't have to concentrate. And listen to this. One of the, even better than a freebie is when the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Omer Rabbi Shimon, Omer Rabbi Chananya, Omer this, Man Shiknezah Gdolah, that's Yerushalayim, Gdolah Ador, Vikid Amri, Omer Rabbi Chanan Bar Yachav, and 6 lines later, I was like, wow. Now, so tomorrow I'm going to get an email. What a shake it's. Come on, each name is a Kabbalah, you should enjoy it. Okay, fine. After about to finish my first Masechta in almost 20 years, after trying that for Yoimi 6 to 7 times and always falling behind and quitting, I love the shir, and I'm clearly giving off my love of it. My 14-year-old, who's making a siyum in Shnai, say the Zikin this Thursday, Mazel Tov, is joining for Rosh Hashanah Mirz Hashem. Also, anything to get a free Gemara, get your kid to join, whatever. Also, I think the Oyer Merkaz can be used to get people to join. I was in Queens for Shabbos, I gave it to someone when I finished it, and he said, he'll Mirz Hashem, sign up. Nachman Mostovsky, Mazel Tov on your first siyum. Okay. A lot more here, but we'll have to wait. Ooh, this one, real quickly. Raboisai, big news. Eli Trapper. It's ambassador from Lakewood. He's going to be here in our base medrash. We're going to make a big zach for him. Here he is, learning in the sukkah. Okay. Raboisai, here we go. Today is Daf Lamed Dalet. We're starting from the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Ein Moitzim Sa'ur. You're not permitted, if you remember, you cannot produce a fire, it doesn't matter, with wood. Here's another picture. If you do it with a stone or with water, a magnifying glass, you cannot produce a brand new fire. Although you're allowed to use fire on Yontif and create and cook with it, you're not allowed to make a new fire. My taima mishum, the kamayla be Yontif. You're creating yesh ma'ayin. It didn't exist. And to create that, to be moilet something, that's also on Yontif. And once it's there, you're allowed to use it and cook with it. You cannot take tiles and whiten them. In other words, cook them so hot that they turn white. What is the problem? My COVID. You're using it to cook food. You're making fish. So why you're allowed to heat up an oven, so why can't you heat up the tile? Says the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Chano, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. You're right. You're permitted to heat up a tile. But now when it's brand new, because these tiles, they're fragile. And you have to heat it up to a point. You have to really heat it up and see if they burst, if they crack. Apparently, many tiles crack and many don't. But there's a good chance that it's going to crack. Now, if it cracks, it turns out that you just heated something up for no reason, for no purpose. So let's think about that for a second. How could that have ramifications on other things? If you do something that there's a very big chance that it's going to be for naught, it's nothing, zero. The thing cracked in half. It was shaloi letzarech. It's usur to do so. So it comes out, the chayra, that if I shecht an animal, that's a very big chance it's a treifa, I shouldn't be allowed to shecht it. And some say no. It's not because there's a chance. It's because you, every single time you take a brand new tile and put it into the oven, you're hardening it, and that is also, that's misakim money, you're making a kli, that's also. But it's 100%. Every single time you put that tile in, you're going to be over. The first shot is no. 50% of the time it's going to crack, and then 50% of the time it comes out retroactively that you were over, you made a fire for no reason. Tanan hasam. Oh, so now we're going to ask a kasha about shechita. The Gemara asked the question. Drasa. You ran over a bird. Very difficult to do. You're very quick. You ran it over. Little baby, let's say. Still alive. Oishet trofa bakoisel. It happened to me 2 weeks ago, sitting on the porch. My cleaning lady did a great job on the windows. You know, in the show on the porches, they have the glass walls. We're just sitting, minding our own business, and a group of pigeons were flying by, and one decided to go right into the glass. Didn't see it. Poof! Head first, lands on the porch, and limping around the entire day. That's mamish this case. So, we got rid of it. We have a picture, yeah. I didn't... But you can't see that. And then the next day, probably the same pigeon, Shaita, took that flight right through the window again. A different one. Started limping. Same thing. Falls down. Took literally a day for it to fly away. Now, Shetrafa Bakaisal happens all the time, especially with glass. Oishur Tzatz the Behema. All these cases, I'm not sure why. An animal, a dog, ran after it, pounced on it. Ufarkeses, it's mamish like between life and death. So now we're talking about a concept called risuk evarim, the crushing of its limbs. It crushed itself in a wall. You crushed it. You stepped on it. We don't know where the problem is. Inside has internal damage. So one way to check it is to wait 24 hours. If it survives 24 hours, nothing happened to it. If not, it's treif. So if you waited 24 hours, you give it a nice shechita, it's right there, it's easy to catch, and you shecht. Not true. After you shecht it, you must open it up and inspect everything. Make sure everything is intact. If it has broken spine, whatever it is, no good. It's a treifa. Rabbi, some of you heard the story, but too bad. I need to tell you the story about Risa Givar. We moved to Bnei Brak, and my father decided he was looking for some chumras, and he found a good one. I love my dad. But he's a machmir in a way. And he found out that when the chickens come to the shlachtos, to the slaughterhouse, They take these boxes full of chickens and they chuck them off the truck. How else did they get to the sidewalk, he figures? They probably don't put them nicely on the ground. Now, if they do, if they fall, four amas, then it's risukei varim. How could you possibly, you need to check them. You need to check. Elio, we're going to the shlachtos tomorrow morning. Yes, sir. What time? 4 o'clock, no problem. So we get to the shlachtos. He walks into the shlachtos. You can imagine, he has the long record, because he's a magachir in Chayoshev, and he walks in, he goes straight to the, who's the head guy over here? He says, listen, I'm concerned about risukei varim, and he's very, very good at convincing people. And the guy probably saw this problem in Bnei Brak many times. He said, okay, go ahead. Fine. He grabs a box. He grabs the first chicken, puts it on the ground, and the chicken does this. Elio, you see, risukei varim. I knew it. I said, Abba, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. The thing is asleep. No, you don't know what you're talking. It's risukei varim. I'm telling you, it fell off the truck. All of a sudden, the chicken hears the conversation, and it gets up and whoop! And there's my father with the frack. And he's running between the sheikhin and the this and the Arabs and the boxes, and he's up under there flying. It was a scene. I was so embarrassed. Here's my father embarrassed. Finally catch the chicken. This one is for sure not risukei varim. This mamish, it stood up and ran, and he puts a nice red thing on it. You're giving me that blank stare. Anyway, fine. He got us 10 chickens. None of them were risukei varim. They're all great. Now you have to put it through the machine that takes off the feathers. But there's hundreds of them.
Chickens. Which one of you wants to die first?
Very good. He loves his own line. I don't know if the mic picked that up. Which one of the chickens wants to die first? Anyway, so the chickens go through. We had to figure out which ones were ours. We almost figured it out. It was great. Now, he takes the chickens home. Because he can't go through the whole process of melicha and everything. So he takes them home. And about, we have 10 chickens. And my mother had to do the melicha. And all of a sudden he notices a crazy thing. Something like this. A mark. A black and blue mark on the chicken. Oy, what is this? What is this? He doesn't know. He's never seen this before. He says, listen, Elio, take this chicken and go to Rav Nissim Karelitz and ask him, what is this? Is this treif or not? He takes one of those regular bags, puts the chicken head in, legs are sticking out, those yellow, disgusting legs, and he says, go. I said, where? Don't worry about it. Just go ask people. You know, kids, I go through Bnei Brak. Where's Rav Nissim? And this guy shows me that. Kids, it's 165 degrees in Bnei Brak. I'm schwitzing. The chicken is smelling already. I get and as I'm going down the stairs, he tells me, listen, you have to ask Rav Nissim at the end, is this Oif Shahira Bai Chacham? Because there's I don't eat Oif Shahira Bai Chacham. If a Chacham, a Talmid Chacham, paskins Halacha on it, that's already not, it's, even though he says it's good, it's not good enough for me. It's not glatt. I said, what? It's Oif Shahira, repeat after me. Oif Shahira Bai Chacham, Oif Shahira Bai Chacham. So I'm going the whole way to reason, Oif Shahira Bai Chacham, is it Oif Shahira Bai Chacham? Finally, I get in there, I'm sitting there with everybody, with a bag and a chicken in the room. And I come in, and I show it to him, Nisim, and he's like, I got binged up from the machine, from the feather machine. Then I look at him and I said, Harav, Haim ze chacham shohayre bayoif? And he started laughing. I'm like, what? Oh, I said it reverse. Did the chicken paskin under Rav? Oh, so, very funny. He says, no, tagid abba, it's nothing, nothing. It's not even, it didn't even begin to be a kasha. Okay, anyways, that was my story. The last part I made up, but yeah, okay. Zokta Gemara. So, Sricha Abdika, you have to check this chicken. Boy Menei Reb Zera, Mao the Shachta Biyamtav. Boy Menei Reb Yirmei Reb Zera, Mao the Shachta Biyamtav. Now, here's the question. You have a chicken that was thrown off a truck, and if you shecht it on Yamtav, there's a great possibility you'll open it up and find it has a crushed spine, which never happened. But in this case, the bird flies at 35 miles an hour right into a wall. You see it, man. So are you allowed to shecht it? What's the question? There's a deficiency here. There's something wrong with it. Now, it could ruin the chazaka. A typical animal. Yes, we do, Rashi points out, we do bdikas on every chicken, on every animal. But the chazaka, it's good. for the far chance that you might find something wrong. But for the most part, animals are kosher, they're not treif. But in this case, there's a big reason to believe that something's very wrong inside the animal. It has internal injuries. And if you shecht it for no reason and you find out that it was treif, you were just iver. You could only shecht l'chayra if you know for a fact it's going to be good, or at least you have a very, the big probability that it's going to be okay. Over here, not. Amalei Tanina. We learned. It brings our Mishnah. You cannot whiten the tiles in order to cook on them. And we asked the question, why not? What is wrong? We're talking about brand new tiles. Not every tile is going to burst, but because a large percentage burst, it comes out that you just put into the oven and you're malabin it for no reason, and that's why it's awesome. So too, you shouldn't check the chicken or an animal that has a bird that has a very big probability that's going to be treif. Omar lei, anam b'nei shetzarech l'chasman masdin lo. Don't bring your raya from over there. We learn, like the second pshat in the Gemara, that it's 100% aser to do every single tile, because you're misaking kli, you're fixing it, not because maybe it's going to burst. So if you hold like the second pshat, you don't have a good raya if you're allowed to shech the chicken or not. Tanya, when it comes to Ilcha Shabbos, Ilcha maybe Isor, one person brings a fire. We're saying that every single one of these people is chayav achatas, or whatever is chayav, Issa deraisa. He brings a flame, he's over Amavir, because as he walks, it gets stronger, says Rashi, the wind, Vecho maybe Sa'itim, and now a second guy adds the wood, he's also Mavir, he's making a flame on Shabbos. Vecho Choifes Sa'akdeiro, and one of them puts the pot down, Vecho maybe Sa'mayim, and one puts the water into the pot, so he's Mevashel. The Gemara is going to say, what in the world did the guy that put the pot down do? He didn't do anything. He put an empty pot. Why is that a problem? Are you allowed to put an empty pot on a flame? Yes. So why is he chayiv carbon? Vechol maybe samayim. The guy that put the water in the pot. Oh, he's mevashel. That I understand. Vechol noisim b'soich tavlin. And the guy put in a little bit of spices. He's also mevashel. Vechol megis. This is megis. You take the stirring ladle and you go like this. Megis. Like right over here. Kulon chayovim. All these chef guys, they're all chayiv achatos. What about the brayza? This is the reverse. Only one of them is chayev. And you look over here, the word potter means potter, aval asur. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't be part of this. But you're only chayev. The only one guy is chayev. Like kashi, hadaisi ur mikara, hadaisi ur lebasayif. Everybody, they did the same thing. One guy brought the wood. One guy brought the pot. The next guy filled it up with water. Is anybody over? No, there's no fire. You're allowed to fill up a pot with water on Shabbos. You're allowed to put wood underneath the pot. But the last guy that lit it up, he's the only guy that's chayiv. But the other case is that the fire was first. So then anybody that's moisev wood and tavlin and water and the pot is chayiv. Huh? Why? Because he's, I don't know, because he's part of it. He's helping. It doesn't look good.
You can't have a retroactive issue. 20 minutes later, a guy shows up with fire and
yeah, you're all part of it. You're part of this Isser Shabbos. Nu, vazokter, what?
You can't have retroactive Isser, basically. They set up the whole thing.
No. I'm asking you, are you allowed to put a pot on a stove that's not on? Okay, so what's retroactive? So one other guy came later and turned on the flame? You're chai for that? You're allowed to fill up a cup of water on Shabbos? Yes. And then somebody puts a fire underneath it? You're chai? What's the connection? That's what he's asking. It shouldn't even be... Should be awesome. Okay. No. If it's simultaneously, then it's Shnayim Shasu, that's halachic shtick. We did it way before. What you did is not awesome. The next guy came along and did the answer. Yeah, I bring the gun and I put it over here. Then the guy takes it. Who? Argues on who? No, the Gemara says Padalas. That's the simple mashmas of the Gemara. Okay. Like Asher, he says that there's a machlegs with this Padalas. Okay. Like Asher. Hi, Daisy Umikara. Bishlai Makulu. So the Gemara just explains. Ka'avdi Maisa, everybody did a malacha. Ela Shoifis is like there, the guy that put the pot on the flame, my ka'avid. What in the world is the Isser to put a pot on the flame? Omer b'shem malakish, hacha. What's the connection to our sugya? This right over here. We're talking about a brand new pot, and it's just like putting a tile into the oven. It might burst, and if it might burst, you did a tircha. You have a brand new oven, so obviously you're not allowed to cook in it, but it's a box. Think about it, in those days, cardboard, no such thing. I want to use a box. I have a nice box called an oven. So I could move it around. You can't do finishing touches to it with oil, and you can't wipe it down. You can't sprinkle cold water on it in order to harden it, because that's the final melacha. You're misakim mana. You're making a kli. This is a very interesting halacha. It needs a little bit of explanation. The Rishonim talk about it. What? Which part?
By doing afiyah, it's also
mechazen. What if it's brand new? What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to do the final thing. If that's the final thing, you're not allowed to.
You can't harden tiles.
Right, exactly. So that's what I'm just now discussing. Very good kasha. He's asking, can't harden tiles. So you can't use water to harden it. But if it's to bake, it's mutter. So the question is, why is it any different? Okay, fine. Vimushul efois, if you're going to bake right now, the Rishonim explained, it's instantaneously, it's on the spot, you're doing the afia, that's okay. That's part of oichol nefesh, and the fact that you're doing something else at the same time is not the end of the world. Tana Rabban. Mol givis ha-rosh v'saraglayim. So, I had the unfortunate privilege of investing in the meat business. So I know a little bit about it, very little. By the way, I'll give you a tip that cost me $2.5 million. I'll give it to you for free. Don't invest in a business that you don't have experience in. That's my tip. If you don't argue, that's fine. I'm sure there's people that don't agree with it. But I'm asking you, would you hire yourself the way you were when you started your seminary? The day you started your seminary, would you hire you? Would you hire you on the first book? Are you as good as you are today? I'm saying, people without experience, you get better. And experience is the key to anything. So Yosef Shlomo, if you're good at computers, you stick to computers, I'm telling you, it's east side. But anyways, I decided, what? But you do, you studied it, you know it. You're right. You don't have experience like this, but that's what you know. That's what you know, that's what you stick to. I'm just saying, stam is a eitzah. So, we'll talk afterwards, exactly. How much experience, this is that, but in life, experience is the number one key, I think. So, in business. So, I invested in this thing. Now, one of the things, it's very, very interesting, that these machines that take off the... Correct. I took a risk. When did I start? You don't know.
In Chicago.
I did 8 years in Chicago. I did a test on five guys. Big deal. Okay, so now, these machines that remove the feathers, they have boiling hot water. And halachically, it's also to put the chicken through them because the hot water makes the blood. It basically cooks it, and it's very hard to do. You can't do malicha afterwards. So they have a very hard time cooling down the water to temperature, which could remove the feathers, but halachically not be boiling. You know about this, Rabbi Shomer Mustama. So it's a very big issue. And that's why, by the way, a lot of our chickens have like still feathers on it, because it's very hard to remove the feathers with the systems that are in place today. Anyway, that being said, molgin is haroish v'saraglayim. You're allowed to pour this hot water to remove the feathers from the head and from the feet. Umahavivin oisam ba'ur, could singe the feathers in a flame. On yontif, of course. Avalein toivlin oisam becharsis, you can't give it like a nice manicure with the wax and the laser treatments and the lime, the charsis. The kids are all the stuff. This is stuff that the professionals use to be ma'abed the skin, to tan the hide. Because it doesn't look good on Yantav. And when you come and snip the hairs off, the feathers, the hairs, with a scissors, it looks like you want to keep the hair. It's awesome. You cannot go. Now we're going moving to vegetables. We went from chickens to vegetables. Can't. Once the vegetable is already nitlash, how do you say in English? Detached. Okay, that's the best you can come up with. Fine. Jonathan said detached. Was it detached? There's no way to, but it looks, you're using that scissors that you usually use to detach the vegetable, so you can't go and start fixing up the vegetable, taking off the bad leaves around it. Even though it's detached, it's still usur, because it looks as if somebody's going to walk by and say, hey, you just detached the vegetable on Yantav, it's usur. I don't know what those are. These vegetables need a lot of work, and you're allowed to fix them up. You're allowed to heat up and bake in a very large oven, furnace, chamin bantichi, and you warm water in a very large pot. And the concern is, excuse me, people might say, look at this guy. Wow, leaving us 10 minutes for next sugya. This guy is heating up water for the weekday, and that's awesome. And you cannot bake in a brand new porni because it might crack, and that's the same concern we had before with the tiles. You can't use one of these guys. What is it called in English? Forgot already. Bellows. We had in different sugyas. I had it already. This pipe. You can use a pipe. You can bowl through the pipe and it comes out nice and strong to make the flame larger. You cannot fix the skewer. To sharpen it. Remember, we had a fish. You have to put paper between the fish and the grill so it doesn't burn. You cannot open up the reed and use that as a separator. Let's say you want to break open a walnut. You can use a shmata, whatever it is, around it. Let's say you want to crack it with your teeth. I don't know what. You're not concerned that you might rip the beged. Even if you do, it's nothing. The official Mishnah, sponsored by Visual Rufu Shleimah from Yosef and Chana. The Oid Omar Reb Eliezer. Rashi just points out that it seems from here that the Girsa back in the day, the way they read the Mishnahs back then was a little different, because we learned that the word Va'oid only goes back to back to the man the Omar that said it. So Reb Eliezer and the Flamin Gimel Omar Aleph on the bottom, the beginning of the Mishnah, right after what he said, it should have said Va'oid. But the Mishnah goes into, you're not allowed to create fire with sticks, with stones. According to the word va'oid, it seems like those words shouldn't have been there. Okay, that's not the point. Va'oid on Reb Eliezer. Another halacha says Reb Eliezer. Oymed Adam al Hamukta. So you have here, you have a bunch of grapes that are mukta. Now we're talking about mukta, not like we had before, that the mukta is a backyard. This is mukta on Shabbos and Yantav. Why? Because it's not right. It's not a grape and it's not a raisin. It's spoiled in between. But there are people that do eat it. It's like at that, it's almost there. It needs another few days, let's say there too. So there are a few shugayim, let's call them, people that don't care. They'll eat the semi-spoiled raisin. Okay, grazin, we'll call it. It's in between. So a person could stand there and point at these grapes. Erev Shabbos B'Shvi'is, right? This year is Shemitah. So it's on a Friday. And he looks at these grapes and he says, now what's significant about Shemitah? Shemitah, you don't have to take Trumas and Maisers. Why not? Because it says in the Pasuk, huh? What does it say? But that's not the reason. Rashi brings this Pasuk later on in the Daf, all the way in the bottom somewhere. It's like a chaya. You're like a chaya sasada. Just like an animal doesn't take trumas and maisrus, you are like the chaya that doesn't have to take trumas and maisrus on Shemitah. In case you've never seen this, you're new to the shir, Trumas and Maizras. Okay, we're not going to go into it. But if you have produce, you have these grapes, you have to give 2% to the Kayan, and then you give 10% of whatever's left to the Levi, and then the Levi gives 10% of whatever he has to the Kayan, etc., etc. And then the different years, we're talking about Shemitah, so this is, doesn't apply. Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, because it's only years 1, 2, 4, 5, and 3, and 6, but year 7, Shemitah, the, fine. On Shemitah, you don't do this list. Okay, you're like a Chaya. You don't have to do it. Now, there's something very important that we have to discuss here. No, 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 we're not going to discuss that. In order to be chayev in meiser midoiraisa, okay, very, in order to have to give the 2% and the 10% and all that, you have to have two things midoiraisa. You have to have gemar melacha, you have to be finished, total, done with what you want to do with this food. Yeah? Gemar melacha. It can't be like this raisin that's in between. It has to be finished. It has to be a raisin. It can't be a half a raisin. And you need to bring it into your house. It has to be in the house, chot, the house. And if you don't, right, through the front door, and if you bring it through the back door, through the skylight, you're not. Midor raisin. Okay? Fine. But we're going to see, we're not going to go through this whole list, but the Gemara is going to discuss this right over here. And Chatzar. These guys right over here, the Rabbi brings a list of six things. By the way, thank you to Ari Weinstein for sending me the wording for this. The Rabbi brings six that create a kvias. In other words, if you have fruit that's not chayev b'meiser because it's not gemar melacha, you didn't finish it yet, you didn't like do the final smoothing of your pile of wheat, you're allowed to eat from it a temporary achila, achilas arai, but not achilas keva. Shabbos creates achilas keva. Why? Because the Shabbos oineg, the food you eat is kvius. It's permanent. It's a real eating. So Shabbos creates a kvius, the Gemara says. And therefore, it's kavua, and you have to take meiser. The other thing is we're going to talk about chatzar today. The rest, forget about. Okay, so now, guy standing there, Erev Shabbos, on Shemitah, which he doesn't have to take, Trumas and Meisers, Voimer, Mikani Neoichel Amachar, and he says like this. Here's a picture from Yoni. He points, and he says, I'm going to, by the way, this took me a long time. I wasted too much time getting the grapes to fit this funny shape. If somebody has a good idea how to do it, they even come out to fine. He points and he says, these grapes, I'm going to eat from right over here somewhere. I'm going to eat from here. So first of all, the chiddush is the word va'aymer. He says it with his mouth. He doesn't have to remove grapes and say, oh, I'm going to eat these grapes. We're talking about azmana now. We're talking about yantav. We're talking about somebody taking something that's mukta. It's mukta meaning. He set it aside. I'm never going to eat these. These are disgusting, spoiled grapes. But then he says, no, I am going to eat it tomorrow. In other words, I want to designate this as food. I'm saying it's food. So he doesn't have to put it in a container and say, this is food. He could say it with his mouth and say, you see those grapes over there? I'm eating them. The other concept over here is the concept of breira, retroactive clarification. He doesn't know which grapes he's going to eat from the pile. Obviously, he's not going to be able to finish all of these. These are a lot for one person. So he's going to eat 10 of these. Which 10 did he say are going to be food? Retroactive clarification. Chacham say no. He must signal and he must do so to show that I'm going to eat these grapes and only from this mark on. Okay. Not awesome. We learned in the Mishnah, it's a very, very beautiful sugya. Now, if somebody makes food for Shabbos, hold the questions a little bit because we're running out of time. If somebody says that this is Shabbos food, this is cholent, bam, it's chai b'meiser. Why? I said before, Shabbos makes it chai b'meiser. What if a child does it? That's the chiddush over here. Of course, if an adult does it. Over here, the Mishnah is telling us, even if a child does a maisa, first of all, he can't say it. He can't say, oh, this is Shabbos food. but he literally takes it and puts it away for Shabbos. He does it on Erev Shabbos. It becomes Shabbos food. And therefore, v'shachu v'lo yisru, and they forgot to remove the trumas and maisras, it's Shabbos food. L'motzei Shabbos l'yoichlum kein yisru. Once he makes it a Shabbos food, it becomes chayiv and truma. And since he didn't separate, give the kohen and the levi their portions, that you must do that on Motzei Shabbos. You can't eat it. It's tevel. It's the d'oraisa to eat that food without giving a little bit to the kohen and the levi. Una nami, another halacha. Hamaver teinu b'chatzer liktzos. If a person spreads out the figs in order to dry them out, make them groigrois, right? That's how you make a groigrois, like a sort of like a raisin, but made out of fig. What is this called? This is fruit that's loy nigmer melachtam. It's not finished yet. It's half spoiled figs. So memela, since it's not nigmer melachtam, what's the halacha? You could eat a achilas arai. Oh, thank you. Sponsored by the Yadilim Group. For all those who need children, was in shul. Please join us. Sponsored by the Tanko Shnut. But it's for my children. I call them in the Torah and Yisrael Yaakov in the Torah that they should be do well in Yisrael. Have a chayes v'toyer and mitzvahs in Yerushalayim. Amen. You gotta be maspid the daf. They're not makpid. Boy, when they wrote Rav Nachman, Shabbos ma'ushet tikva mukta lemaiser bedavar shaloi nigmer melachtoi. Gevaldik akasha here. Oy vey. Something just fell. What was that? Yeah. But guess what? Nobody will know because it fell on the floor. So, here's the Shiloh. If you have this guy, Shabbos, do you need Gemar Malacha over here? We said, Midoy Raisa, you need two things. You need Gemar Malacha and Re'iyas Pnei Abayas. But since you don't need Rias Pnei Abayas, maybe you also don't need Gemar Malacha. We're already getting rid of Rias Pnei Abayas. Maybe you don't need Gemar Malacha. It's Shabbos. Shabbos takes away from the, you don't need Rias Pnei Abayas. So maybe you also don't need the other condition. The Pasuk says you should call out and say Shabbos is a pleasure, it's a oineg. Shabbos itself has the power to make this food chayev, even though it's not finished yet. Shabbos only has the power to do it once it's finished. But not if it's not finished. Yeah, Shabbos has the power. Now, what does that mean? Rashi points out, very, very important. If a person says specifically, this is Shabbos food, this food becomes aser, until you give trumas and maizes, forever and ever. But if you didn't say it's for Shabbos, it's also for right now on Shabbos. Why is it also right now on Shabbos? Because you can't take trumas and maizes on Shabbos. It's Misaka Mona. It's like Misaka Mona. Okay, that's what Rashi points out. You don't literally need to make it to be Miachadet. Omalei, ve'ema Shabbos dumi d'chatzar. But what about this case right over here? Chatzar is also something that makes it Kavua and Yechayiv, Betrumas and Maestras. So it sits in the same list. All six are in the same list. Shabbos should be similar to Chatzar. But Chatzar doesn't have the power to make Yechayiv, Betrumah, unless it's a finished product. I have a Kabbalah. I have a Messiah from my Rebbes. Don't ask any questions. This is what I know from my Rebbeim. That Shabbos has the power to make something chayv b'maiser. If you say this is Shabbos food, boom, it's chayv b'maiser on the spot, whether or not it's a finished product. We learned it in our Mishnah. Now mukta, what's mukta? Remember those grapes? Those grapes are mukta, erev Shabbos. What is that called? Not a finished product. The grapes, between grapes and raisins. And what does it say? It says l'chayra that Shabbos makes it chayev b'trumas and maestras. Because look what it says. It says oymed adam mukta erev Shabbos b'shmita, like the top line on this page. V'chulu taima the, what is that? You have grapes? Nah, not today. Taima the shviyas the lav bar yisuru. The reason why he could eat it is because there's no trumas and maestras on shmita. Ha b'shar shni shavua hachinami da'aser. But it comes out that any other year besides Shemitah, that would be Aser. Why? Because Shabbos was Kaveya. You see from here, from our Mishnah, you're missing the best line of the whole Davis. The hardest line. Just listen and tune in to YouTube. The Shabbos cover. Loi. That's not the reason. You know why it... Why is it kavua? Why is it chay b'maiser? By him designating and saying this is food, once it becomes food, by him saying so, now it becomes chay b'maiser. Nothing to do with Shabbos. You're trying to prove the Shabbos have the power to take food that's not finished and make it chay b'maiser, like these graisins. And the answer is there's no raya for Shabbos. The reason why graisins are chayiv Bitrumusamaisers, because he said they're not graisins. He said they're raisins. He pointed and he says, I'm going to eat them. So mele the chayiv maiser. Shani awesome given the omer. Ask the Gemara, then why in the world is it in our Masechta? Our Masechta is all about doing hazmana. Being making food, saying, could I eat this food on Shabbos and Yontif? Is it ready for Shabbos? Ready? This has nothing to do with Shabbos. This has, on a Tuesday afternoon, if somebody decides that this is food, these are not graisins, they are raisins, he's chayv b'maiser. On a Tuesday, nothing to do with the Shabbos. So then why is it in our Masechta? That should be in Masechta's what? Maisris. Nothing to do here. Why is it halacha about Shabbos and Yontif? Great kasha. Answers the Gemara HaKamashma. There's another, you're right, it shouldn't be here. But I'm giving you a side chiddush that has to do with our Masechta. The Tevel Muchanu Eitzel Shabbos. Shim Avar V'tiknoi Mitukon. Beautiful. From the Diyuk of the Lashon of our Mishnah, which is Mashman, our Mishnah saying it's L'chatchila. I don't want to confuse Doyle. But from the Diyuk of our Lashon, we learn in another halach here, that this food, Tevel, if it's on any other year, if somebody went and on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to take Trumas and Maisers, but he's a big frumak and he decided to be over Isser and take Trumas and Maisers, are you permitted to eat this food? Is it Muktzah? Question. I'm asking you a question. You have a bowl of grapes that is, right now when Shabbos came in, you couldn't eat these grapes. Why? There's no Trumas and Maisers on it. If you eat it, you chayev Isser deraisa. And he went and he took Trumas and Maisers on Shabbos. Could he eat those grapes? Could his family eat those grapes? Yes. Why? Very good. You hear what he's saying? And we had that in Rashi. When the Isser is only Isser the Rabbanon to take Trumas and Maisers, because Midrash you're allowed to take Trumas and Maisers on Shabbos. It's only Isser the Rabbanon. So it's not Muktzah. We learned that in a different Rashi. We had a problem understanding Rashi. If the reason why I can't touch this chayfetz is because only Rabbanon don't allow me to touch it, then it's not muktzah for the whole Shabbos. If somebody removes that because he took the meiser, then I'm allowed to eat. So that's the chiddush here. If somebody was over, this is not a problem of meiser, this is a problem of muktzah. The Gemara is telling us that the problem of muktzah doesn't exist on a regular Shabbos if somebody's over. That is the chiddush. That's why it's in our Masechta. Rabbi Isai, have a wonderful day.